Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's hour two of Wildcat Insider. Mitch Fortner, the voice of the Cats. Wyatt Thompson, AJ Shaw is running our board today. He'll also take your phone calls if you feel like calling in. 785-537-1350 is the number if you want to call in, give a question or comment about K-State Athletics. We'll have Gene Taylor, the athletic director of K-State, will join us a little after 520 is when we'll hear from the AD. And at yesterday's game, Brett Yormark was actually at the game. Good opportunity to mix with, of course, K-State, but also a returning program in Colorado back to the Big 12
no
next
doubt.
Year.
I was looking at some of those things today, too, with looking at Colorado's numbers and Arizona and Arizona State's numbers. Utah, of course, is still alive. They knocked out Iowa in the NIT after K-State lost at Iowa last week. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting with them coming in and Oklahoma and Texas heading on to the SEC.
Yeah, the old SEC. Actually, it's the Big Ten. The Big Ten's not having too good of a NCAA tournament on the men's side. Greg Sankey, right, he made headlines recently about the whole expansion talk of the NCAA tournament, which I'm not necessarily in favor of just because the basketball fan in me feels like that we got it right. It's just big enough, doesn't need to be any bigger, because if you go bigger, then you're really looking at teams that do they really deserve a shot at the national championship? That it's that conversation. I just feel like 68.
Mm-hmm.
It feels right. So or whatever, whatever the number is. But he mentioned that maybe we should start thinking about not allowing so many automatic bids with these low to mid majors.
Yeah, those low to mid majors have done even better than the SEC did in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the SEC, Auburn, I think I said Big Ten, but SEC.
Yeah.
You lose.
I think they were 1-5
Auburn
in the first round, weren't they? Kentucky lost.
Let's see. I got the bracket right here in front of me. So Tennessee is still in.
Yep.
Tennessee is in.
Alabama's still in.
Alabama's the other one.
And Alabama's good. And not that Tennessee isn't. They're both really good, but.
But, I mean, Auburn.
Auburn's gone.
Bouncing the first round.
And they're the ACC.
Yeah.
That's the other league that I wanted to mention because, everybody talked about the Big 12, and they've probably not done as well as they'd hoped. Same with the SEC. The ACC and the Pac-12 have been good in this tournament, especially the ACC.
Well, we'll talk more about the NCAA tournament here a little bit later on, so I want to look at the Sweet 16 and who Wyatt thinks will get there in the Final Four out of those regions. Let's talk a little bit about K-State men's basketball because we learned over the last few days or so, because the transfer portal actually opened up a week ago today, the day before K-State was playing their first round game and ended up being a loss to Iowa in Iowa City, but two players in the transfer portal, Dorian Finister and Cam Carter, have jumped into the portal. Just a quick thought. I mean, both guys jumping in doesn't really surprise me. Were you surprised by Cam jumping into the portal?
I was a little bit, to be honest. Not as much with Dorian. I think Dorian's a really nice young guy, and I think you know, he probably just wants to go somewhere where he has a little more of an opportunity to get more minutes and have a bigger role. You know, Cam was a, I mean, he started all 70 games in the time he was here.
Wow.
And I don't know if everybody would recognize that, but I was a little bit surprised, and in part because I think his role was so much different, and for him had to be better this year. I mean, just the jump in the scoring average and that kind of stuff, you know, was that's a pretty big jump. Last year he averaged 6.5 points a game, and this year just a little bit less than 15. That's a pretty good little jump. So yeah, I was a bit surprised.
Well, there was just a moment where. It's kind of like after that hot start, K-State had started the Big 12. They went, 4-1,
right.
Was in first place. And then we knew there was going to be a tougher schedule coming up. Because after you beat Baylor, you still had back-to-back road trips to Iowa State and Houston. You had Oklahoma coming up. KU game was coming up. And Cam just kind of, I don't know, like it just – didn't seem like he was making the smart moves, you know, with the turnovers really started to add up, and it felt like it wasn't the smartest plays. And I think I knew there was some criticism out there about the way he was playing, but also the shots weren't falling as much. I think he had, what was a run of like 4 straight games he didn't have a 3-pointer. And you know, when K-State was missing, you never had Naquan Tomlin, Quez Glover, who could have been a starter. Didn't have him all season long, so you're already limited. You already have 2 guys that you were expecting to play in the rotation, now out, and you have really 3 core guys that need to be your scorers every night. And when you miss Cam Carter a little bit too much and a little bit too consistent, it just didn't help K-State win some of those crucial games.
I will say this. I think if you look at his Big 12 conference season, you would say that towards the end, he probably faded a little bit. Some of it probably the minutes. To be honest, I mean, this is a 36-minute-a-game guy, and that was true also for Kaluma and for Tyler Perry. That's pretty massive minutes. That other teams do it too, but those top 2 or 3 guys usually have that kind of minutes, and I think it wore on him, and he did not shoot the ball – whether it was because of the minutes or whatever, but he wasn't at the same level from a percentage standpoint, especially from the floor and from 3. He still maintained at the free throw line, but from the 3-point line and from the field, he did dip in the last, I'll say, third of the conference season. And the turnovers were up a little bit too.
I mean, but I don't take away what he was able to do on defense. He was a heck of a defender. But I absolutely wish him the best. And for Dorian Finister, I mean, when you ride the bench for 2 years.
Sure.
It is
tough.
Yeah, it is. It's time to find something else. It really is. And I hope he finds it. So really where that leaves us now is I think that's 3 scholarships open. Is that right? Because
well, you'd have one with McNair. You'd have one with Tyler Perry. They did scholarship Tamont Lindsey in the second semester of mm-hmm. this year. Now Cam.
And you have
and then Dorian,
David Castillo coming in next year.
And you have Castillo coming in. It's interesting to look at this because with Cam leaving, okay, I'm anxious to see what is next. Meaning, most of us believe that there's at least a 50% chance or better that David Gasan could come back, right?
Right. And I have the same question. I mean, Quez Glover, does he continue on to play basketball? What's the thought there?
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So Gasan, you wonder, will Kaluma come back? I think that's another one that is kind of waiting there in the balance. I guess with everybody else, I'm expecting the 3 freshmen to be back, you know, Jarrell Colbert and that. Not a guarantee that all of that will happen, but I think the one thing we can say is like so many, K-State's going to bring in David Castillo, but they're going to hit they are going to hit the transfer portal large and hard.
And they already are. I'm not going to start throwing out names because I find it to be pointless when you don't know what that's going to turn into. You know, if they're going to visit, that's a different story. That means the ball's really rolling on this recruit. It's a possibility. And I really believe in the staff. And once they get a student athlete on campus, that obviously the odds of them landing that recruit go up significantly.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty solid group. I mean, really, and it's, you know, where is NIL now with working with Wildcat NIL? Are they now in a better spot to land the recruits they really want out of the gate, that they're recruiting the hardest? Like, you know, that's gotta be there as well. Let's be real. It's gotta be there. So, you know, fingers crossed it's there. I also want to ask you one more question because obviously the season ended last week in Iowa with the first round loss in the NIT. How will you remember Tyler Perry? Because obviously now Tyler is done as well.
It's a very interesting question. I think I would start just from the personal side. I would say what I'll remember about him is just a very, very big-hearted, caring young guy. I think you have to start with him there. I thought when it was all said and done, that sticking out probably shouldn't surprise anybody if you think you know Jerome Tang at all, right? I mean, that's the kind of guy he's going to recruit, somebody that really, really cares and wants to give you his absolute best every day. And you heard Tyler's comments after the year, right? I mean, you heard what he said. from a player perspective, I guess what I would say is I always appreciated his effort. You know, there were games where he just made incredible plays, and, you know, there were games where he struggled a little bit and people defended him, you know, pretty well. But just in terms of the effort and his ability to make things happen, and it just seemed like in a lot of the games where when the game got its hardest, he always seemed to kind of rise above a little bit, and I always respected that. So for me personally, it's that, but I have to always start with just what the game meant to him, what playing here meant to him, playing for Coach Tang and that staff. Sorry about that. Those things really are paramount with me.
I know there's a lot, you know, the three-pointer just not being consistent, not being as advertised. The numbers right. weren't, you know, from what he had at North Texas. That is a part of his story, obviously, but I do admire that he found a way to score.
Sure.
And he was such a good free-throw shooter. He could get to the free-throw line. He wasn't, for half of the year, you know, Marquise Noel, reason he was just so dynamic and so good is, yes, he could shoot from outside, but boy, that kid can slash and get some tough shots to go.
Yeah.
Well, for a long time, Tyler struggled to just get around guys and get to the hoop. He would have to, you know, it's like a running back that runs 50 yards sideline to sideline for a 5-yard gain. You know, he just couldn't get too close to the rim. He just couldn't beat a guy. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
He would run all over the floor trying to do what he could. But then he did start to beat some defenders, and he was playing a little bit quicker off the hop, and he was getting those buckets to go, and then it opened up the outside game. It changed a little bit for him, but he adjusted his game, and he still found ways to score points. And I really admire that because that's probably not an easy thing to do, and he had a lot more on his plate than he was expecting to have in the first place.
Well, there were times you said a lot of quality things there from my perspective because he's in a different system. He's asked to do things in a different way than he did in his previous stop. He did shoot the ball better at North Texas than he did here, but wouldn't you say, too, that part of that is the competition? But even though he's not the same type of athlete as Marquise, as an example, he still found ways to score at a pretty high clip. And if you really think about it, I mean, the guy was, 20-plus points, I think 11 times. Let me look here, 35-ish games. That's – and he's legit that way. But, again, I think – I've come in the past year to respect Marquise even more for what he did a year ago after watching this season, because it's like, it's all due respect to everybody, it's like comparing. We talked earlier in this show about how good DJ Giddens is, but you don't compare him to Deuce Vaughn. They're just different.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing what we're talking about here with Marquise and Tyler. Both pretty highly effective players, but I think with Keese, just the elite quickness, like with Deuce, is what, for me, comes to the forefront and stands out like a sore thumb.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by K-State Athletics Director Gene Taylor after this timeout on Wildcat Insider.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
We roll on with Hour 2 of Wildcat Insider. Mitch Fortner, Wyatt Thompson, A.J. Shaw. Now pleased to be joined over the phone by K-State Athletic Director Gene Taylor, who now joins us. Gene, really appreciate your time. And, of course, we lead off with the K-State women. Unfortunately, their season wraps up a little earlier than we were expecting in the round of 32 falling to Colorado. But this season was a very special one. I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always good to be on. And you were right. It was a magical season in so many ways. You know, I think this team, I think somebody talked about it yesterday. Obviously, the emotion was real yesterday in their post-game, you know, Gabby and, you know, Serena and some of those gals in the locker room. The emotion was real for a lot of reasons. I think they had a great run. I think they really enjoy each other. But their personalities really drew to our fans, and our fans bought in, and they, you know, showed up, and they loved them, and they all bought Gap Goats. And it was just a fun team to be around, and that's why I think it hurts, and you're so, you know, sad for them that they don't get to play another couple of games. But overall, we'll look back and really enjoy this group and then this season, because it was a lot of fun.
Gene, I'm curious. You've been around the game of college athletics a long time, and I know you've been around a lot of special young ladies, but I'm just curious from the personality standpoint if you've ever been around one that is quite like Gabby.
You know, it she is special, yeah. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. She's just always up and happy, and you know, I think just generally connects with people and likes to have fun, and a tough and fierce competitor in my mind. I mean, and even though when she struggled a little bit this year, you know, towards the end of the year, she was finding ways to get buckets and have impacts on games, but yet, you know, she'd stand around and sign autographs and take pictures. You know, she's just got one of those infectious personalities that people draw to. And, you know, I don't know what her future is, obviously, from her career standpoint. But I guarantee if she ever wanted to work for K-State Athletics, we'd absolutely find a spot for her. She could go out and you could entertain donors and raise money pretty easily. So I haven't even talked to her about it, but I may have to here one of these days.
The message that she gave yesterday to the media about she mentioned Jill Shields and Coach Mitty and her teammates and you and all of that. I'm just curious, as how much did that get to Gene Taylor? That was special. That was special.
Well, you know me, I have that's why I don't go to senior banquets, I'm telling you, particularly with young women, because they do get emotional, and I'm in the back room, and I'm, you know, trying to cover my eyes, but, you know, when you hear that, it makes you feel really good, and you feel really good about, it reminds you why you do this job, and what brings you to work every day is for young people like that come in and fall in love with the place and give everything they have to make it better, and for them to, you know, have a career, you know, 2 years here that she, you know, she's a K-Stater and be a K-Stater forever. And, yeah, it gets to you because, you know, you want to see them keep playing, but, you know, they've got to move on. But they'll always have a connection to here, and I'll do anything to help her, whatever she wants to, with her future.
And one more thought on Gabby. I mean, just a thought here. It's like, if I know Brian Smoller has a number of backups if he's doing TV or radio to help him out, do some color, but maybe Gabby is one more he added to that list.
I would bet, yeah.
She would be great.
Gene, as a fan and as a member of the media, I was obviously thrilled to see K-State get the opportunity to host for the first time in 7 years, but when the athletic department hears that, okay, and gets notified that K-State is hosting, how much work does that put on the athletic department's plate?
Well, quite a bit, and I told our staff this morning, we had a staff meeting with our directors and the folks that really had a majority of the role in terms of leadership of this event. And, I think they thrive on it because they care so much and they're so good at what they do, right? They want every detail to be perfect, and they enjoy the fact that, okay, hey, we're going to host a national event like this. And it starts with the details from the NCAA, but it's more about, hey, we're going to put on a first-class show because obviously we want to make our athletes to feel like it's first-class, but then the team's coming in. And so they take great pride in that. And from the minute we got the notification, I happened to be, we announced it there in the Shamrock Zone. Everybody went right to work. I mean, we had our social media and our ticketing staff and our development staff in one conference room, and had our operations staff going through and making calls to the schools. And from that night all the way until the game ended yesterday, and probably for several hours yesterday, they were putting a lot of time and effort in, and it's a labor of love, and they do a great job. And I would hold up our staff to any staff in the country that puts on an event like this. I think they're as good as there is in the country, and they take great pride. And for an athletic director that walks into the building throughout the week, knowing that everything's going to be where it needs to be, and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to ask questions. I mean, Brian and his staff and Casey Scott and Joni Smoller and all our operations and media relations, Kenny Galanou and his crew, I mean, they're on top of it. I walk in and just kind of sit there as a fan enjoying it because I know it's done at a top level.
I had this thought run through my head on Sunday because I was told, like, all that signage you stuff you see from the NCAA, like, they ship that in crates over to you guys. It's a lot of stuff that comes in. Are they very particular about when they get that stuff back after it all wraps up?
Well, some of it we can keep. Obviously, the stuff from Kansas State on it. The backdrop, the things that sit on the back of the chairs, those chair covers have to go back, and there are some items that have to go back. But I mean, think about this: they got crates of sodas because obviously we're a Pepsi school, and everything behind the house was the other product, right? And we had to pull all of our stuff out of our refrigerators. They have Pepsi on them. We had to cover them up. We had to pull everything out and put in, basically Coke product. They sent lots of products in for each locker room, so each athlete would have various, sundries in their locker room. And then after that game, they pulled out those other ones and put fresh ones in. So I have to store and inventory that. We have all that signage we have to put up throughout the arena, cover up anything that is not, NCAA-sponsored. They go through with an NCAA rep and check, have a long list of checklists that they do. So when that first team comes in on whatever it was this week, I guess Friday or Thursday, it's NCAA ready, and the hours that go into it. But there's so many level of details that it's pretty incredible that the amount of work they have to go through to put an event on like that.
Gene Taylor is our guest. Let's talk about the NCAA tournaments for just a moment. Obviously, we were talking about the women's game and the season coming to a close in our first hour, Gene. But one thing that Mitch mentioned was just the growth of the women's game here lately. I know it's got a lot of run with Caitlin Clark, but it seems to be that, but more. Do you feel like the women's game has taken a monster step here in the last year or two with all of those kind of things that have happened?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously the NCAA has realized that, hey, there's a really good market out there for people that follow women's athletics. I mean, it kind of started with softball, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Softball was so popular and got so popular quickly. And then it did maybe take an athlete like a Caitlin Clark and a Final Four run like they had last year. But I remember last year I was at the men's Final Four. And we were at an event for one of the, well, actually Learfield puts it on. It's a massive event, right? And There was a big room where the semifinal games were going on, and everybody, literally it's a party, everybody's walking around, they're having cocktails, everybody stopped, and they were in that room, packed that room, cheering for one of those two teams. And I'd never seen that before, ever. And then obviously the championship game was, you know, and so, you know, just look at our team this year. I think obviously they were winning, but they were a fun team to watch. They were competitive. You know, they beat the Iowa. They go and beat Iowa, and they, you know, at one point they were 20-1. And our fans are like, okay, hey, this is a great team to watch. So again, just like K-State fans, I mean, they're gonna buy in and support, and they did. And you know, when Gabby asked for the sellout, they certainly responded. And you know, good for those ladies because they deserved it, and our fans deserved a chance to see them again. And it was a great. But yeah, I think generally, yeah, I think it started with women's softball and the popularity of that, and it's just continued through. And I think you're going to see probably that much growth in volleyball with the Nebraska filling a football stadium. So I think those kind of things are good for everybody.
Gene, would you be in favor of expanding the NCAA tournament field?
You know, I don't. I think that, you know, if you do it the right way and you don't take away from these teams that come in and make the NCAA tournament special, like obviously one of the commissioners feels that we should expand it and give more opportunities for the power schools. I think if you're going to expand it, you're going to expand it equally like you do now, and maybe, you know, you certainly, I think you're top 35 conference champions, and then, you know, at large, and if a conference, you know, everybody's saying the Big East should add more teams this year, well, then gives Big East more teams, and you know, but I think you can also water it down pretty quickly, and I think you have to be careful with that. But I don't think I want to put just all the 16 seeds in one tournament or one early part of the tournament and then let them survive. I'd rather, if you're going to add it, do it in a way that doesn't water it down and keeps this tournament as exciting as it is. I mean, I guarantee you, Oakland never had as many followers as they did after that, you know, their game. And then the Yale and some of these teams that come in and upset, you know, the Power 5 schools. And I think that's what makes it special. And so if expanding it's going to hurt that, I don't agree with it. But if you can expand it in a way and still have equal access for the teams that deserve it, then I'm fine with that. But I think no more than 72 or whatever works. I think we get to 90, now you're talking about a whole different deal, and I'm not a big fan of that.
We can't have you on here and not ask you about baseball for a moment, since they've won 9 in a row and just swept Houston at Houston. And Coach Hughes just got career win number 800 Friday night. Pretty good weekend for baseball.
And they've been playing really well. I think, you know, I wonder sometimes that they just need to get down 3 or 4 runs and then they'll come back and win. And,
yeah.
You know, we actually got up the other night and then we got down and then they came back. So I think Pete and the coaches feel there's a lot of talent on this team. And I think they've been kind of working through some challenges from a pitching perspective, obviously with a couple of injuries. And I think that's maybe beginning to settle in. But, you know, a big weekend this weekend, you know, obviously 800 wins. I called Pete the other night when he hit 800, what a milestone that is, how many young lives he's, you know, had an impact on over those 800 wins. And I just tell him, hope we have a lot more in our future. And I think this team's capable and, you know, it could be another fun ride with baseball. But as you know, this conference is not easy to get many wins in. So to sweep a team on the road is really, 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 really hard to do.
I wanted to ask you one more, if you don't mind. I know this doesn't get a lot of publicity, but I'm just curious as to what you think now, since the renovations to the track indoor is done, and just the reaction that you've gotten from that, not just from, you know, donors and fans, but from the track people themselves and what that means to Cliff and their program.
Well, I think, you know, hats off to Cliff because he had his fingerprints are all over the design of that in terms from a track perspective, right? Everything from the bank, the degrees of the bank, and yeah, where they put the throwing and the flat track around so they can warm up and et cetera, et cetera. But I know that first event that they held in there with Miami and I think Oklahoma State and KU, I can't remember who all was in it. The rave reviews from the track athletes and the coaches about how fast the track is, right? Everybody wants to run fast so they can qualify. And I think this is going to get out there. And once it gets out there, then we'll be able to see some pretty significant track meets in the indoor in the future. And it's interesting. Track's very interesting, as you know. You know, they used to be the old duels back when I was in college, but they don't do that. It's all about getting to a track where they can get multiple teams and they can run this fast and compete, you know, and set marks so they can qualify for the in-state championships. If our track gets out there that it's a fast track and it's capable of doing that, then I can see where teams will say, you know what, I used to always go to this event. I'm now going to come to Manhattan. And you know, I think we can probably see some future teams coming in here that we haven't ever been able to host before. And that's a great thing and a compliment to the, you know, to Cliff and his program.
Well, Gene, we always appreciate you stopping by here on Wildcat Insider. Appreciate your time. And we'll be talking again down the road. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
That's Gene Taylor, KSAT Athletics Director here on Wildcat Insider. Let's take another timeout. We'll jump back to the NCAA tournament, get Wyatt's thoughts on the rest of the men's field as we're down to the Sweet 16 when we come back. I thought this was Hall & Oates. We're back to Wildcat Insider, Mitch Fortner, Wyatt Thompson, and AJ Shaw. Wyatt, do you fill out a bracket? Do you do that whole thing?
You know what? I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not. I don't bet, of course, can't, mm-hmm. but I always fill out a bracket, but I didn't even do that this year because we found out late Sunday night about the NIT and left the next day at 2:00.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't have time to fill one out. So no, the answer for this year is no. Normally, yes.
Well, if you were just didn't really pick a whole lot of upsets and went chalk, you're probably doing quite well because it's pretty much chalk. There's some fives and some sixes mixed in. You know, every one of the regions has three of the top four seeds still alive, and then you have one of the, you know, somebody that's pulled off an upset. You have like San Diego State, who's a five. Actually, they didn't upset anybody. They just got a good run so far. They beat UAB and Yale. So you like that. Clemson beats Baylor. Nice upset win for Clemson. Clemson's a good example of having seniors and having veterans and guys that have been in the program for a while. That's a good example of how that pays off. I mean, Clemson has a player in Chase Hunter who's been with the program for 5 years. He's been a leader. And, I mean, he hit three threes. He had 20 points against Baylor. He's a great defender. It shows how that can pay off. Continuity, important to Clemson. In the Midwest, Gonzaga, five seed is in, but you have a 1, 2, and 3 still in. And then I guess if there is a Cinderella story, it's NC State, which has been a very incredible story because they've now played 7 games in the last 11 days or something like
12.
That. 12 days. And they had to win 5 straight days in the ACC tournament to win it all.
It's been remarkable, honestly. Again, I think it would be fair to say Kevin Keats was on the hot seat going into the ACC postseason tournament. Wins 5 games in 5 days, and here we are after Selection Sunday, a day after they win that championship. Basically, a week later, he's in the Sweet 16. What a run that must be, right? I mean, that's crazy. They are an 11 seed, and you know what? They're kind of fun to watch.
They are. They got that big guy. They're 5.
DJ Burns.
Big guy. Uh-huh. He's pretty athletic.
He has really good touch for a big man.
Yeah.
And by a big man, I mean a big man, not just the center on the team. He's, what would you say, he's 285-ish? Maybe a little more.
I can look it up.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know now.
What they list him at and what he really is probably the real question here, if I'm being honest.
Okay, DJ Burns. Is that what you said his name is?
Uh-huh.
So he is 6'9", 275. That's a big guy.
It is a big guy. Interesting. But he does have really, really good skill around the basket, but he also can step out to, you know, 12 to 15 feet, and they're just good enough around him to make him pretty dangerous, right? I mean, they're an interesting team. Now, with that said, do I think they'll beat Marquette? Well,
Marquette was knocking out some shots against Colorado.
I was going to say, have you watched Tyler Kolek play? He's pretty crafty.
I was watching that game, actually. I was sitting right next to Colorado's radio in Bramlage. right okay. next to their play-by-play. And I had the game on. And he told me after the game, he's like, you know, I was really trying hard not to pay attention too much to that game, but I didn't want to tell you to turn it off. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I was hoping yesterday was a really bad day for Colorado, but let's start with the South.
Okay.
Because Houston is still in there. Houston is my national championship pick. I thought heading into the tournament, even though what happened with Iowa State happened, I still think they're the best team in the nation. Although UConn is right there. But you have Houston, Duke, NC State, Marquette. Who do you like out of that group?
Well, like you, prejudice here a little bit, but I have always said that I think to go and win a national championship, you have to win one game that maybe you got a little bit lucky in. And I think for Houston, last night might have been it. They're up 12 or 13 points with under 2 minutes to go. And somehow A&M gets the thing to overtime.
That was a horrible jump ball call. Horrible.
Well, there were several horrible calls.
Well, there were. Yes.
The fifth foul on L.J. Crier was awful. The fifth foul on Jamal Shedd was awful. In fairness to all of those officials in that game, and two of those guys work a ton of Big 12 games, that was one of them. I was trying to think about this today. Trying to think about a men's college basketball game that I have seen recently, whatever that might be, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, recently that was as physical and as tough as that one was. That had to be a hard game to officiate. Agree?
Yeah.
That was.
I didn't watch the whole game. I caught second half and overtime.
Did you tape it? You owe yourself a favor to go back and watch it. I mean, it's just I thought it was an incredible basketball game to watch. Incredibly good. But late in the overtime, I mean, Houston's got a kid there after Shedd fouls out that's 3 of 4 at the free throw line for the season, shooting the two biggest free throws this year for that
group.
Of his
life, yeah.
It was crazy. And I loved A&M's fight. Buzz Williams is just one of those guys. And, you know, they just said, hey, we are going to take it to the rack, and we are going to make you foul us. And it almost worked. They almost got it done.
Well, I love that. I didn't care who it was. I'm just glad A&M beat Nebraska, and Nebraska still has not won a single game in the NCAA tournament ever. But you like Houston in the South?
I'm going to say yes, and the reason still is the same that I liked them in the Big 12 all year long. Defense, well, three things. Defense, rebounding, and toughness.
In the East, UConn, San Diego State, Illinois. We only got a couple of minutes left, but those three in Iowa State. I'm with UConn until I'm proven wrong.
You have to do that.
Yeah,
I do think they're the best team in college basketball. Did you see Klingon's game? He had like 14, 14, and 10 blocks.
In the West, North Carolina, Bama, Clemson, and Arizona.
This one's one of the harder ones to pick for me because I could make an argument either way on Carolina-Bama. I do like Arizona over Clemson if they play the way they're capable of playing. I'm going to say Arizona in this one. I just got a feeling that maybe this is their time to get there again.
And in the Midwest, Purdue, Gonzaga, Creighton, and Tennessee.
Wow. Remember what I just said about the West? This may be even harder
to
pick because – do you get the Purdue team that makes, you know, perimeter shots, which makes Zach Edey even tougher? I really like Creighton a lot.
I do too. Honestly, I'm going to probably go Creighton.
If their point guard shoots the ball as well as he did against Oregon,
yep,
they can get to the Final Four because we know Kalkbrenner can play. And Shireman's really good too, so they're good, man, and they're well coached.
Wyatt, another Wildcat Insider is in the books.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate
it. Thank you,
sir.
We have
a handful left before we get into the summer shows, and we're going to continue on with Wildcat Insider until the end of spring football. So late April is the final episode. Meanwhile, we'll be back again on Monday for another edition of Wildcat Insider. The game tomorrow from 4 to 5:30. I want to thank AJ for his work on the board. Wyatt Thompson to my 1 o'clock. Mitch Fortner signing off. The game tomorrow. Go Cats.
Getting you closer to the locker room than anyone else. This is